Although 40% of Americans are not registered as either Republican or Democrat, the two parties remain entrenched in the centers of political power. This despite the fact that Congress has an approval rating of only 15%. A group called the Centrist Project is working to break the two-party system. They probably would likely argue that the system is already broken, but they're anyway aiming to change it by, among other things, electing five independents to the U.S. Senate. Joining us this morning is the Centrist Project's senior strategist, Joel Searby. He also managed the independent presidential bid of Evan McMullen in 2016. Good morning, Joel. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, John. Thank you for having me on. And it's pretty tough to follow Garrison Keillor in that particular poem, but happy to be on this morning.
Okay. What gave rise to the Centrist Project?
Well, I think, as you pointed out, there is a huge number of Americans, in fact, a plurality of us, are not really that thrilled with the two-party system, the two options that we have. Of course, we know that they have tremendous power, and many of us have chosen over the years to vote for one or the other, very often because of kind of that lesser of two evils mentality. And we just think that it's time in America for a truly different approach to independent politics. A lot of groups have been out there over the years. Our founder, Charlie Whelan, wrote a book in 2013 called The Centrist Manifesto. He's a professor at Dartmouth, and honestly, just he and a couple of friends got together. But as this thing proceeded, and now we've really professionalized it and added some really great people to the staff and the team, we think that the political environment is such that Americans are finally ready to truly elect independents and to see that being an independent does not mean that you're in the squishy middle, but that you can hold your principles very strongly and still not be a part of one of the two parties.
Now, Joel Searby, you managed Evan McMullen's presidential bid. He's a conservative Mormon from Utah, CIA veteran who sort of became the never Trump candidate for a lot of Republicans. Some conservatives really publicly supported him, but in the end, he didn't really move the needle much in the election. I guess a bright spot for you might be the fact that he did win 20% of the vote in Utah. But what lessons did you draw from the experience of running his independent campaign?
Sure. Great question. You know, we knew what we were getting into when we jumped in with 3 months to go. And of course, we put on a strong face and knew that we had to be confident in what we were doing. But we also knew that we were doing it because we believed it needed to be done. And we were very realistic about the possibilities. What I learned from that was that there is a real appetite for something different. And probably most interestingly for me is that I learned that you can be a certain type of person as it relates to how you think about politics, but not be the kind of politician or politically minded person that attacks others. And it really opens people up. I was shocked by the number of people who really leaned left or Democrats, Bernie supporters even, that wanted to support Evan, not because they agreed with certain conservative positions he took, but because they thought that he was taking this in a professional and civil and a good direction for our country. And we've seen that now in the Centrist Project. Evan is somebody who is interested in what we're doing, but we have people who are center left, who are former Democrats, who are thinking about running and are running. Indeed, Terry Hayes, who is running for governor of Maine, is the current state treasurer. She's a former Democrat. And I would consider her, you know, both a center left politician, but someone who is incredibly open-minded and thoughtful and really listens to other people. And that's really the crux of what we're talking about here. It's about being centrist and independent in your politics, not necessarily giving up your principles.
So if we look at the American system from the outside, it might lead to a little bit of head scratching because we have so many people registered to vote in neither party. And with such low approval ratings for both Congress and now, let's be honest, the president, you'd think that the two parties were on the way out, and yet they remain firmly entrenched in power. How do they do it?
Well, to be quite honest, the system is rigged in their favor in a very big way, and I'm not one to use that phrase lightly. The partisans have really worked together in one single way in the last decade, and that's to keep everybody else out of power. They have laws around ballot access, around campaign finance, and many other things that really disadvantage anyone but the two parties. So whether it's the primary systems in different states, whether it's the way that, for example, party committees can receive much higher contributions than can independent candidates individually, both at the federal and at many state levels. And so there's a number of things. And then, of course, they just have a psychological stranglehold on people's minds as candidates consider running, they say, well, how am I possibly going to be successful unless I choose one of these sides? And so one of the things we're doing is overcoming that barrier and giving candidates high-quality operatives, legal help, campaign finance help, political operatives in the campaign manager side, so that they know that they've got the ability to run a credible campaign.
So our guest this morning, by the way, is Jill Serby, who is the senior strategist for the Centrist Project and also managed the presidential bid of Evan McMullen in 2016. The principles that are outlined on your website that the Centrist Project seems to represent are look to me like sort of a mix of American political positions on fiscal issues. You sound quite a bit like a traditional Main Street Republican on the environment. It seems kind of more of a mainstream Democratic position, and your policy on social issues sounds almost libertarian. Is that a fair assessment of where your principles lie?
I think that's a pretty good reading on it, John. And here's the really great thing about that. Why should people have to choose one of the two parties if they believe in those basic principles? And so we just think it's so important that there is another way and that people can see that by electing independents who will basically say, we'll come under this banner of these broad principles and these ideas about how we conduct ourselves in politics, it has tremendous appeal. And I don't know, you know, most of the listeners out there probably when they have conversations with many of their friends, they say, you know, I really don't like that one position of the Republicans, but I think I'll be a Republican. Or, gosh, I can't stand the fact that Democrats do this, but, you know, it's better than the other guys. And we just reject that false choice. And that's one of the important things of what we're doing.
So if you're seeking to elect people who are by definition independent, are you asking them to necessarily sign on to that list of Centrist Project principles?
We are asking them to run on those principles and that broad vision, but we also understand that individual candidates have passionately held beliefs. And so within reason, we want to hear what it is that they think is important to them and to their electorates, because the electorate in Utah and Washington and Oregon are very distinct from the electorate in Maine and Vermont and Massachusetts. And so candidates need to be, at the end of the day, able to serve their constituencies. That's what our democracy does. And so we want to give plenty of room for candidates to hold the principles they need and want to hold while asking them to engage in politics in a different way. And I think that's really the distinction of what we're doing.
Jill Serby is the senior strategist for the Centrist Project this morning here on the Jefferson Exchange. You can join the conversation by calling us at 800-838-3760 or shoot us an email this morning at jx@jeffnet.org. We do have a call on the line, Derek in Talent. Good morning, Derek.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm a supporter of the Draft Bernie for a People's Party campaign that Nick Brana, a former Bernie staffer, has started. Essentially, they're asking Bernie Sanders to shepherd his flock away from the Democratic Party, given, as your guest has pointed out here, that it's a rigged process. And, of course, they were prepared to take the nomination from Sanders had he won it. They had the superdelegates prepared to walk across for Clinton. And so I guess I've, from the description here, it doesn't sound like that campaign would be necessarily contradictory to what your guest is doing with the Centrist campaign. I think you're hemmed in a little by that name, given that I can see that being just a bit of a burden because it's what is Centrist anymore with the shift, the hard shift to the right that this country has engaged in the last, I guess under the Bush era.
Okay, Derek, thanks for those comments, Joel.
Well, I think it's important to understand, again, as you pointed out, there's a lot of people out there that are frustrated with the current system. Now, our approach would be to avoid the extremes, both on the left and the right. It's why you'll see us taking on both Democrats and Republicans. And again, I want to just really emphasize that it's about how people engage in their politics. I think there is a lot of room for diversity in certain ideologies. But it's what we're seeing as a really problematic issue is these, both as part of gerrymandering and other things, we're seeing people push to the extremes and then representing those extremes when they go into the public square. And we're trying to elect independents who will approach the politics in a different way. We're not asking them to give up their deeply held beliefs.
Do you anticipate this growing into a third party?
You know, a lot of people ask us that. That is not our goal right now. I have done a lot of work on what it would take to build a truly national third party. I've had people ask me, people who have money, and said, you know, is this the route we should take? And so I've studied it deeply. It would probably take about $100 million to do it at the true national level and do it right, because you have to field candidates, you have to have ballot access, you have to build organization. It's a big, big deal. What we think needs to happen first, and we talk about it as like a hack to the system when you think about technology, a disruption, you have these two big incumbent companies. You know, if we only had Coke and Pepsi, and everybody talked about how Coke and Pepsi were both terrible and they were defined by that, that would be an industry that was ripe for disruption of somebody who offers something different. And so we think the first step is to elect some high quality statewide and prominent independents, and then we'll see where it goes from there.
And so you describe that strategy now on your website as a fulcrum. How will that work if you're successful?
Sure. So in the U.S. Senate, what you have is a very closely divided Senate, and you already have one, what I would call kind of moderate or centrist independent in Angus King from Maine. And you could add one or two, depending on how close it is, other independents. We're also there's a lot of talk about current partisans potentially leaving their party as it relates to how they caucus. Joe Manchin and Heidi Heitkamp from the Democrats, Ben Sasse and Jeff Flake and others from the Republicans. You could have a 5 or 6 or 7 person caucus of independents that would completely control the balance of power in the Senate. And that would force both left and right to bring their best ideas. The centrist caucus would have a heavy influence on leadership positions and other key decisions that are made in the Senate. And the same thing can happen at the state legislative level. We're doing that in Colorado as well. We've seen that happen already in Alaska, where they elected a couple of independents to the state legislature and created an entirely new caucus that is now dealing with their deep budget issues. So it's a very practical, functional way to get into this system and force some change.
Okay, so it seems like you're almost forcing a kind of parliamentary flavor into the American system.
You know, others have alluded to that as well, and certainly you can look around the country where there is multi-party governments that function quite well. And while we're, again, not trying to create a third party, what we certainly are saying is we need a third element in the governing force so that we can bring some, we think, common sense and level-headedness to this process that has become so extreme.
We're talking with Joel Serby this morning. He is the senior strategist for the Centrist Project. You can join us by calling at 800-838-3760 or by email at jx@jeffnet.org. Let's take another call here. This is Pam in Dexter. Good morning.
Hi. Well, as a person who's gone back and forth from Green Party to Socialist Greens to Democrat, and working for 6 years on campaign finance reform and for Oregon, I just think that is the real fundamental problem, is money's influencing our legislators to do their bidding, big industry. So I had come up with an idea, and a friend of mine said there's probably going to be a way around it, but it seems like until we overturn Citizens United and can get a rein in the influence money has on our politicians and the legislation, why can't we pass a law where if there's a conflict of interest of donors, let's say some legislation that would hurt or benefit an industry that gave to the candidate of, say, over $1,000 or more, they are not allowed to vote on that legislation. So that way, the money would pretty much dry up, because I think that's the biggest problem. I really like instant runoff voting or preferential voting as another way to get third parties, so you can vote for the person you really want rather than the person that you think between the lesser of two evils. But it just seems like everything is a moot point until we rein in the influence of money on politics. And thanks for the show, and I'll listen on the radio for your answer. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Pam. A couple of ideas there, Joel. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, Pam, thanks for the thoughts. And, you know, what we found in our movement, our group, is that there's a lot of reform-minded folks who are very drawn to this. And we certainly support broad campaign finance reform. We think it's important. We also support things like reform in redistricting and the gerrymandering that's happening. And and reform in a lot of other approaches to how voting is done. And so we're with you on that. I think what we represent, we hope, is a real, tangible, practical way to start injecting some of these reform conversations into the actual bloodstream. They are pushed out because the control is only in the hands of the Democrats and Republicans, and it is not in their best interest to seek those kinds of reforms that we think are best for our country. And I will say, you know, with all due respect to a lot of the groups that are out there, they have, by their very nature, pushed themselves into the fringe on some of these reform or really minor party groups that are just one-issue groups. And we think that their place in American politics is important. But what we're trying to do is actually win seats. And we are 100% focused on winning some seats with independents, because we think that changes the game and really opens up the collective conscience of people to say, okay, there is a different way. And that makes space for a lot of these reform movements that right now have a really hard time getting an audience.
So the topic of money has come up a couple of times already, and obviously one of the big barriers that your organization identifies is money. So let's say that I'm an independent and I consider myself a pragmatic centrist, and I decide to run for a seat in, let's say, the California Assembly. Do I come to you for some campaign assistance? How do I run that campaign if I'm up against, you know, well-funded Democrat and Republican opponents in that race?
Sure. So our long-term goal, and we are working toward that now, is to provide all of that infrastructure, including a network of people. Some people may be familiar with groups like Emily's List, who support Democrats and have a national network of basically small-dollar donors that want to support those kind of candidates. We're building that same kind of list for independents, for example. But on the more practical side, though, yes, one of the problems is candidates who want to run as independents can't get access to campaign managers and people to help them with their campaign finance and their website and all the things that you need to run a campaign. And so we have built already a national network of vendors and operatives who want to work on independent campaigns. We've got people who have worked. I've got someone who worked at the high level in the Obama campaign and somebody who worked at the high level in the McCain campaign already said, I'm in. I want to help. And then on the donor side, you know, we have some very prominent donors who have come on board, and some people may be familiar with the online game League of Legends, which is the largest online game in the world right now. The company that created that, Riot Games, was the Inc. Company of the Year last year. Their CEO, Mark Merrill, is on our board and is a significant contributor. Many other folks like him from the tech world and otherwise are coming on board with what we're doing. They see the vision. They get it. They think it's practical. And we will eventually have those resources. Not eventually. We do have those resources, and we will have more as we grow to support people up and down the ticket.
Now, the Centrist Project, Joel, has identified target U.S. Senate races in 2018. They're in Utah, Wyoming, Nebraska, New Jersey, Massachusetts, and Connecticut. But you also target states for electing independents to state legislatures, and that list includes Oregon. So what about Oregon's political landscape gives you confidence that you can succeed in this state?
Yeah, well, I think, like is indicative of even the two callers, there's a lot of folks in Oregon who feel this way. They don't want to just be easily pigeonholed into a single party. And certainly the Democrats have had a strong showing there. But you've got a lot of other folks who either don't agree with certain things the Democrats do, or they have been Republicans historically. And they kind of run the gamut of folks who would like a different option. Oregon, to us, strikes us as a place full of people who are independent-minded, who are strong and have been self-sufficient and have been, you know, innovators in a lot of different ways, and both in the cities and in the rural areas, that just say, you know what, I don't like the idea of having to choose the lesser of two evils. And so we see that. And then, you know, just politically speaking, there have been some close races at the state legislative level where independents have made headway. But again, they've run up against these big barriers. So we're hoping to help come in and accelerate some of that at the right time.
We have time, I think, for one more call. And this is Rika in Grants Pass. Good morning.
Good morning. Nobody should be able to become president by capturing a major party nomination, a faction of a party, really. We need what? All nonpartisan elections, take all the party labels off the ballots, and let people pick people. And let everybody do the picking in the primary, and then the top two go on to the general election, no spoilers.
So, okay, yeah, Joel, how does the concept of nonpartisan elections fit in with your approach?
Sure, yeah, there's been a lot of talk about that. There's actually been some significant investments at the national level by folks who think that that's how the presidential should be run. And we support those kinds of approaches. Sometimes it's just referred to the top two or the jungle primary, or there's the concept of ranked choice voting. There's a number of ways to go at that. The idea of shedding parties, we think, while it might be interesting, I don't think it's realistic in the short term, and we're trying to stay very grounded in what we think we can accomplish now, which is we think we can accomplish electing independents statewide in some key states and in some other state legislatures, and even at the local level, and mayors and city councils that are ripe for this kind of disruption. People want independent candidates. They've just never been presented with somebody who is not only credible and viable, but has a network around them to make it happen, and that's our goal.
So we talked briefly about Oregon and your desire to see some Oregon independents elected. You don't seem to have set your sights on California, though. Why not?
Well, we've had some talks in California. There's been some sabers rattled there, particularly on the gubernatorial and Senate race by some very wealthy folks. So we've had those conversations. I think what I would say about California is we're open-minded in the sense that if the right kind of candidate wants to run as an independent, we are in conversations with them. However, California is incredibly expensive when it comes to running campaigns. And again, to the other caller's point, it does take money to run campaigns. There is a reality about that. And so as an organization, we have to be careful about where we invest. If we think there's a chance to make a difference and to get a win, we'll look at California.
Thank you very much. This is the Jefferson Exchange, and we've been talking with the senior strategist for the Centrist Project, Joel Serby. Joel, very quickly, the website, if people want more information.
Sure. Centristproject.org is the website, and we'd love for you to learn more.
Joel Serby, thanks so much for being a guest on the Jefferson Exchange this morning. We really appreciate it.